Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of the LA Rams UK podcast. Unfortunately, coming off the back of a disappointing 32-18 defeat to the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. So that's quite a fair bit to go over. And joining me to do that is, first of all, Tony. How are we doing?
Good evening. Very well. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. And Rob's here as well. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jordan.
Yeah, so... Unfortunately, we'll just need to kind of dive straight into it. So just your initial thoughts on the game itself, Tony.
Yeah, it felt quite inevitable from the start. You know, those first three plays that resulted in the punt away, it just felt slow as a start off. And we'd had the indications during the week that Kupp wasn't going to play, Aaron Donald was going to play, but I think we all knew he was injured, but he'd play as much as he could. And I think his snap count was like 53% or something like that. So he obviously wasn't fit and ready to go. So it felt slow to start with. It didn't really get much better, even though the scoreline did get better as the game went on towards the third and fourth quarter when we pulled it back to, what, 25-18? It just didn't feel as though we was going to get very far with this.
Yeah. Rob, what about yourself?
Yeah, I very much what you said, Tony. I think, you know, one of the big key matchups going into this one was, you know, was our defence against their offence, wasn't it? And I think right from the get-go, you know, the Green Bay looked as if they had no real issues about, you know, moving the ball on us. You know, certainly the first quarter, second quarter, you know, they looked very balanced, you know, moving the ball on the ground, moving the ball in through the air. And as you rightly said, Tony, it did start to look quite ominous, didn't it?
It did, yeah. I mean, one of the bright sides to this really was, and the season in general really, was the way that Cam Akers and Van Jefferson actually played during this game, both getting the touchdowns, obviously. But I think that bodes well for the future for us, even if not quite so much during that game.
Yeah, I think very much indeed. You know, as I say, very much looking at the game as a whole, you know, there was certainly some bright spots, wasn't there? You know, as much as, you know, the defence looked to be struggling to kind of contain Green Bay, you know, certainly in that first half, you know, the offence was stepping up, wasn't it? You know, Goff looked to be playing reasonably well, reasonably consistent. You know, its Cam Akers looked good on the ground. And it certainly looked as if, you know, yeah, they were jumping, you know, kind of... Yeah, a couple of scores ahead on us, you know, kind of like, you know, kind of in the second half. But, you know, we looked as if we could move the ball a little bit, you know, and I think kind of going towards the half, you know, the halftime score was, you know, 19-10. And from what I saw in the first half, you know, I was quite willing to take that. I thought, you know, we're certainly still in the game at that point. So we are.
Yeah. I mean, I think the game was actually decided in the first half, although... You know, Rob saying it was only 9 points at half time, but there was, you know, kind of 11 points either way that kind of swung it. So, you, first of all, you had the mess on fourth and one, where, you know, we had to call a timeout because we didn't get the playoff in time or McVay didn't like the look or whatever. Then, false start, which, you know, like, fair enough, you might not score a touchdown at the end of it, but potentially if you convert that fourth and one, you know, you're in range. So there's 4 points of a difference. So we took the field goal. We had the Aaron Donald penalty, which as great as it is, you know, it can't be excused. Again, that's, you're potentially talking a field goal attempt for Green Bay, but instead they go down and score a touchdown. And then the two near interceptions right on, you know, halftime practically. Again, Green Bay get 3 points there for the field goal. So, you know, there's 11 points, you know, to kind of take it whatever way you want. It's an 11-point swing that we never kind of recovered from. But, yeah, no, I agree. You know, it was I don't think three and out immediately was ominous, but you know, the just it kind of felt like we were never out of it, but never that close at the same time. It was a kind of weird feeling, you know. Never, you know, after the three each tie, I don't think we were closer than a touchdown. But yeah, I suppose we'll dive a little bit deeper into it just now. So obviously we spoke kind of a little bit there, touched on the defense. I said last week there was three things that I thought, you know, the Rams could beat anybody. One was avoiding turnovers on offense. We obviously did that. Keeping the scoreboard ticking over on offense. You know, you can kind of say they did that at 18 points. The one that I definitely did not expect to fall down on was just, you know, the defense playing like they can. So, you know, Rob, what take a bit of a deeper dive into that? What kind of went wrong there, do you think?
Yeah, but you know, I think, you know, one of the key points was coming into this game, you know, just kind of where was Aaron Donald, you know, after the cartilage rib injury from the previous week. And, you know, the reports going into the game were really quite positive. You know, as I say, he was talking about feeling no pain. And as I say, that was obviously a big boost going into the game. But I think we saw, as much as we saw Aaron Donald, you know, kind of early on, you know, he just didn't look his dominant self. And I think that was one of the areas of the defense, you know, that we started to hurt. You know, you could see them moving the ball on us on the ground, as I say. And Aaron Donald, as the game went on, just seemed to miss more and more snaps. And I think it became quite apparent, you know, that he wasn't anything like, I think, as fit as we were hoping he was. I think he was actually playing under maybe quite a lot of pain. So he was. And you touched on the face mask incident, you know, in the second quarter, Aaron, which was a great point, because I think, you know, we were looking at, what was it, 3rd and 7, I think, until the penalty actually happened. And as I say, it was giving an offence that was gaining momentum, that further momentum, you know, to give them the first down, you know. And as I say, I think that was one of the things I began to notice about the defence early, you know, that Donald just didn't look like his usual self. And then, as I say, things began to fall down round about that. You know, we couldn't contain the run. Aaron Rodgers was looking particularly good through the air. You know, the receivers were moving the ball on us. And again, I think, you know, there was wee things going against us. There was like some penalties and things that didn't go our way. I know certainly, you know, the touchdown, I think, to Devontae Adams as well, down on the goal line. I think Ramsey was, there was a wee bit of a confusion with Ramsey and Scott, I think. So, yeah, I think the situation with Aaron Donald, I think, impacted certainly the defensive line. And I think, you know, as good as an offence that Green Bay actually is, you could see that, you know, that giving them that we weren't going to be just as maybe as good at our pass rush as we potentially could be with a fit Aaron Donald. I think they took the onus on that and began to move the ball really quite well. And you saw us stuttering, just really trying to slow them down and stop them.
Yeah. Tony, anything to add to that?
No, I mean, Rob's covered quite a lot of it with Aaron Donald not being on the field as much as we'd liked him to have been. But I think one of the other pivotal moments was the near interception for the when Green Bay were going for the touchdown, and Jalen Ramsey was, I think it was Jalen Ramsey, was upset at not actually intercepting the ball rather than just blocking the reception. I think that was towards the end of the second quarter. I can't remember whether the resulting play actually was a touchdown or not, but I think he, you know, if that had been an interception, he'd been able to make his way down the field a little way. That could have changed the momentum of the game straight there. And I think that was another pivotal moment in the game.
I think it was Troy Hill. I was trying to rack my brain there. No, I think it was Troy Hill. Yeah. No, I mean, I think obviously Rob covered quite a lot. I mean, I just can't. Every time I look at the stat sheet from the Green Bay side of things, if you're going to let one receiver torch you, why is it Alan Lazard? You know, just the slowest guy out of them all, you know. But obviously you've got Adams, who, I mean, I spoke last week, obviously Adams had, you know, nearly 100 yards a game. So for him to have 66 yards is actually not bad defensively. The touchdown, you know, I couldn't believe it when I saw people putting that on Ramsey. It's surely, you know, I think everybody could see it coming as soon as Adam started running back across the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
You knew exactly where it was going, so it's on one of the defenders. And we actually saw, I think again it was Troy Hill later on in the game, possibly third or fourth quarter, it was definitely in the second half anyway. Troy Hill actually read the same play or the same kind of motion and, you know, basically waved Ramsey off or waved him onto his man and he took Adams. That's exactly what should have happened on that play. I mean, obviously they potentially score in the next play or whatever, but, you know, it's just things like that. I think if you're putting that one on Ramsey, then, you know, you're watching the wrong sport, to be honest. But yeah, just we kind of briefly touched on it. I had a point on it again, Rob, and yourself, Tony, have spoke about it. Aaron Donald's injury. I kept seeing a lot on Twitter as well. Aaron Donald was hurt. I think we push hurt away. He was not playing hurt. He was playing injured. And it was pretty obvious right from the start. I noticed, you know, it wasn't until the end of the drive, but when Green Bay scored the first field goal, Aaron Donald wasn't in on third and goal from, you know, the four or five, which is prime Aaron Donald territory, obviously, for getting after the quarterback. So I think even that early on, we knew there was a major issue. It kind of goes back to, I know we've not had Todd Gurley here this year, but it goes back to the kind of non-speaking of the injury, if you like, from mm-hmm. McVay and everybody else. It was kind of, yeah, you could say you're trying to hide the fact that he's got the injury to kind of put Green Bay off, but at the end of the day, you're only kind of kidding yourself on saying that he was going to play and he was nothing bothering him and everything. And it's just that I think that's something that we need to see the team in general get away from, is this kind of kidding on practically of you know, issues that may or may not be there. But yeah, obviously that played a major part in everything. Nobody else was getting home at all. And obviously a lot of that we know comes from Aaron Donald giving everybody else one-on-ones. So when you're not winning the line of scrimmage and letting Aaron Rodgers just sit there, he's going to sit there and he's going to pick you off because he's the MVP this year probably. And one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. So, you know, that's where a lot of the defensive downfall came from. So, yeah, we'll leave the defense there because I don't think we could be too harsh on them overall. You know, they got us there, essentially, for the most part of the season. So we'll move on a little bit to the offense. And just, Tony, first of all, what you thought of the offensive performance. It was a little more fluid, a little more, you know, it was only, 174 yards through the air, but it felt a lot easier than we've seen in previous weeks. I don't know if you agree with that.
It did, yeah. I don't think there was much wrong with it. There's a couple of things that do stick out that were wrong, in so much as that Robert Woods didn't seem to be as dependable as he normally is. I mean, looking at the stats, he had 10 targets and 8 receptions. So, I mean, those stats aren't bad in and of themselves. You know, Cam Akers had 18 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown. You know, that's not bad either. It's just not quite good enough. And if you're only putting 18 points up against the Green Bay Packers, who've been, are they the highest scoring team in the NFC?
NFL, sorry.
That's even worse, isn't it? So, I mean, yeah, 18 points was never going to be enough. But, yeah, it's... I think a couple of things come out of that, that we can't rely on Cooper Kupp to come into the playoffs for us. What is it, 2 seasons out of 4 that he's not been available in the playoffs when it's mattered? And we really do need that speedy receiver to get down the field for us. And that would, hopefully, open up the field for the team.
Yeah. Rob, what's your thoughts on the offense overall?
The offence overall, I actually thought they played well. I actually thought they played well for, you know, for certainly the majority of the game. I'd actually go as far as to say they actually kept us in the game. I think, you know, particularly in that third quarter, I think, you know, you look at the situation that we were coming into the game, you know, that this was an offence that was hurting. You know, we had Goff just removed from the surgery with the three pins in his thumb. We had lost Cooper Kupp the game before, who didn't actually start, you know, so the offence was playing through some adversity. You know, Walford was out as well, you know, so we didn't even know if Goff was going to be able to play the whole game, but thankfully he did, and I thought his performance was actually good. And something he did in this game that he hasn't particularly done well for maybe the latter second half of the season is that he actually played well, I thought, under pressure. You know, I think over the course of the game he was actually sacked four times. I think, granted, you know, I think certainly maybe the majority of maybe three of them were maybe kind of laterally in the game, but he did seem to stand in there and he seemed to throw the ball reasonably well. You know, don't get me wrong, he got away with one certainly, so he did, that could have been picked off. But I think, to be honest with you, I think Goff's performance was not only brave, but actually pretty good, I think, under the circumstances. And then away from Goff, you look at the ground game, I think Cam Akers again had a very good and very consistent game. I think, you know, particularly early on in the game, I think he was the largest part of our offence. I think maybe actually keeping Green Bay honest. You know, and then when Goff began to kind of shine in little spells, you know, guys like, you know, Reynolds, Woods, Van Jefferson were getting open and he was hitting them. He was getting them. So I think really over the course of the game, I think the offence actually played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was at least one of those sacks that was down to the offensive line. I think maybe even Akers, you know, I saw a few people, that was a stunt that Green Bay ran, so, you know, the outside defender comes inside or vice versa, and I think running backs are taught to block from the inside out. I've just seen people that maybe a bit more knowledgeable, and Akers kind of stayed outside, and I think Whitworth let the inside guy go, and, you know, he was basically a free runner to Goff. I mean, yeah, it did look easier in there, but part of me wonders, is that just how bad it's been that, you know, we're now classing 174 yards through the air as being decent? Just, is that how bad it's been this season? Because, you know, in my notes I've got, you know, Goff and Akers standouts, and then the more I thought about it, you know, was Goff really a standout? You know, 18 points and against a kind of middle of the road NFL defense, maybe slightly better than halfway. You know, I'll maybe ask a question here. Do you know, is that enough to give confidence going forward, do you think, in next season, Tony, that from Goff?
I mean, this is the question that's going to fill the off season for us. I mean, if we've got another hour, we can go through all the permutations with Jared Goff. But I mean, if you were picking a first round quarterback and you said they would take you to the playoffs three times at 3 years out of four, you'd be pretty happy with that, particularly from where the Rams were coming from. Next season, I think you're moving on a little bit as well. I don't want to take too much time with, if you're going to do this again a little bit later, Jordan, but I would be happy, not ecstatic, I would be happy if Jared Goff was our quarterback next season.
No, I take your point on the you know, take the team to the playoffs, what, three times, you know, including the Super Bowl, to be fair. But I think it's more we've obviously seen a regression. But we will have a season review out probably just after the Super Bowl. So I think maybe that's one fully to leave for then, because there'll be a few questions. I think there's been one popular talking head on American TV that flung out a throwaway line about another quarterback being traded for, so we'll leave that for then, I think. But going back to Akers then, Rob, running back one for the future, the foreseeable anyway?
Yes, I've liked what I saw from Akers, and I've liked what I saw from Darrell Henderson. I think they've both been dealing with injuries off and on, but certainly in this game, I thought Akers was a standout, and I think against the Seahawks, the game previous, I think he was terrific. I think he shows his diversity, that you know that he has a very slick, quick-moving running back. I think there is power behind the run as well, and this is a guy that can also catch a ball out the backfield. So I think, again, a very decent performance from Cam Akers.
Yeah, so obviously it's a little disappointing that we've waited so long to get him in, but maybe they just didn't feel like he was ready. But obviously for the, I think although Henderson will be a nice change of pace and can maybe do things a little bit different from Cam Akers, I think Akers is going to be the main guy and kind of how I thought it would play out. You know, maybe you know that 60-70% kind of the carries at least if when Henderson's fully fit. Obviously, we've only really had himself and Malcolm Brown there for the last couple of weeks. Brown never even got a carry against Green Bay. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch going forward. But you know, you can pretty much pencil in Cam Akers as your number one running back for 2021 anyway. Kind of doubling back to Goff's. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Rob.
No, I was just going to just kind of add one point. I think one thing I think that was good from both those backs was that you see if one of them goes down, you know, that Henderson and Akers certainly looked capable of carrying the load, you know, certainly for a few games. And I think that's a good... It's a great thing to have, because I think that's the whole idea of having the three-headed monster. You know, we know that, you know, obviously Malcolm Brown, you know, and what he brings, but certainly, you know, when Akers went down, you know, you saw the main back was Henderson and he carried the team, and I thought played particularly well in some games, and then vice versa, Akers did exactly the same. So I think, you know, that you have that luxury there with the two of them.
Yeah, definitely. Just doubling back to Goff for one last bit. It's not doesn't sound too great, so it's going to be, again, we'll probably leave the most of the talking at this point for the season review, but you know, obviously there's reports out there that there's a bit of a fracture in the relationship between McVay and Goff. Obviously a little bit came out in regards to the health of his, you know, his thumb essentially against the Seahawks and when he was, you know, people said benched or whatever, but you know, Wilford started ahead of him anyway. But it looks like it's a little bit deeper than that. Is that a bit concerning for you, Tony, going forward?
It is, yeah. I mean, you know, what is he, 26? And he's already said that he's going to have the pins in his thumb for the rest of his life. So you wonder how much control or finesse he's lost in that hand. And only time will tell, to be fair. But I hope it doesn't stop him at all. Because he's not a bad quarterback, and I think he's the type of quarterback we needed to actually bring the franchise back to Los Angeles. As you know, I would be happy to have him as the quarterback for next season, but we know what our front office are like for making a splash trade or something in the off season.
Yes, and wasn't planned, but it moves us on nicely to the kind of news, I suppose, and we'll make the first part of that is that Brad Holmes, who was the director of college scouting for the Rams, he's been appointed the GM of the Detroit Lions. So, I won't pretend that I know a huge amount about the front office and different roles, but given that he's the director of college scouting, it's a huge, you know, it's a huge piece of that front office, and especially when you're coming up to the draft, it's, you know, he was going to be one of the main voices in the war room and deciding who was going to be the next Rams. So, a bit of a loss, you have to assume. And by all accounts, everybody's talking extremely well about him. The one bonus, if you can take it, is that the Rams will receive two third-round compensatory picks this year, because they've developed a minority candidate who's taken on a major role, obviously being a GM. So kind of what's your thoughts on that one, Rob? Obviously, maybe more casual people might not even have heard of him before this news, but it's going to be a big part of what your front office is doing, especially coming up to these important months leading up to the draft.
Yeah, I very much like yourself, Jordan. I can't say I know an awful lot of the names in the front office, but you know, I was certainly aware, you know, just from recent news, just with him moving on, that he was the director of college scouting. So yeah, I mean, obviously, it's going into your off season. These are the guys that become very active, aren't they? So yeah, it's going to be a loss certainly on that front. But the compensatory picks are something that certainly, you know, that you get from that. So I suppose that's something. And I just wish the guy well, you know, and thank him for his time here, and hopefully, you know, certainly we'll look to potentially fill that hole with somebody going to, you know, pretty soon as.
Yeah, and we'll move on, Tony, to some not so great news either, but news that we kind of expected. We were hoping we'd at least wait maybe one more year, but Brandon Staley is the new head coach of the Renters, the Chargers.
San Diego.
Yeah, so thoughts on that one. Obviously, we spoke about the disappointment of the defense in the latest game, but like we said, they were the number one. They got us there, so more kind of upturn than your. Suppose you're already kind of worrying. Maybe worry's the wrong word, but you're wondering how the defense is going to handle that changeover. And we'll come on to his possible replacement in a second. But the kind of your reaction to the Staley news first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's disappointing that he's only been here a year. I think most of us had heard that he'd been interviewed, and I think he'd been interviewed more than once as well by different teams. But I mean, I think the coaching has definitely stepped up a level this year. I think that's been quite evident by, you know, the coaching has translated itself onto the field, in so much as that the Rams defense has been the number one rated defense. So I mean, it's disappointing to see him go. But it just goes to show that maybe Sean McVay has a good eye for coordinators, and hopefully he's got his eye on somebody else to come in as well. And those two third round compensatory picks, you know, my first thought was how many sixth rounders can we get for them?
Yeah, well, that's what Les Snead does usually, but we'll see what happens this year. A few more holes maybe to fill, just given the, you know, what the cap space is going to be, etc. And obviously, I'm sure even though it was the divisional round, they'll be disappointed overall. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, an extra two from that Brad Holmes hire aren't going to hurt. So we do have kind of, it's not been confirmed by the team yet, certainly, but it's been reported Jacina Anderson, who's one of the, you know, more notable NFL reporters, or one of them anyway, she has said that Raheem Morris, who most recently was the interim head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, he seems to be the guy that's you know, in pole position for the job anyway, has worked with McVay, I believe, at Tampa Bay, possibly even Washington. So he looks to be the guy that's coming in. Obviously, I think when people hear Falcons, they'll be a bit concerned, given they're, you know, pretty much fallen off a cliff since their Super Bowl appearance. But certainly when he took over as interim, they won a few games. It looked like he got a bit of a tick out of them, and I think he was in consideration for that job as well. So again, maybe not one that many casual fans or whatever have heard of, but Rob, initial thoughts on that particular rumour?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I think, as you rightly said, you know, I think McVay and Morris have some history together, so that's a very kind of positive thing there, you know, if McVay is familiar and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see, you know. Certainly, yeah, there's been a few names kind of thrown about. I think Raheem Morris was certainly the kind of leading candidate, you know, externally. I know they had also certainly looked kind of internally as well. And another name I was reading today, actually, that could potentially be in the mix was Aubrey Pleasant, the defensive backs coach. So again, another guy that could potentially be in the mix. And I think we'll certainly get an interview for the role, but I think, as you rightly say, guys, I think Morris is the front runner, and they may be looked to be tying this up quite quickly. So it'll be interesting to see. I think, again, as you touched on, Jordan, I think, you know, the Falcons haven't looked particularly great. But I think, as you say, you know, kind of latterly in the season, you know, he came in, he took over the coaching job, and I think he steadied the ship a little bit. So it will be interesting to see, you know, kind of what he brings to the defense if he is initially going to be the guy. And one thing to bear in mind, again, correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but I think the Falcons defense is 4-3. Although nowadays, guys, it's all sub packages and things like that, so it's not a big thing. But again, you know, possibly maybe a guy that could maybe come in and, you know, potentially maybe kind of put his own kind of spin on things. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he's the guy first and foremost, though. So well,
yeah, they were. I mean, I think people obviously go and have a look at Atlanta's defensive record, but for the most part, that was Dan Quinn's defense. Obviously, he got fired from the head coaching role kind of early-ish on in the season. They kind of ran the old, Dan Quinn was the Seattle defensive coordinator, I believe, so they ran that kind of cover three that Seattle have ran for a number of years. So, yeah, it was four down linemen was certainly their base package. So it'll be interesting to see, like you say, a lot of it's, you know, sub packages, you know, extra defensive backs and whatever. So we'll see. It's obviously something they'll discuss moving forward, but I'd imagine that he's going to be quite flexible in that and formation wise. And kind of, I suppose it's a kind of double back again to the Staley news, Tony, is that he was trying to get Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator, for the same role, but the Rams have actually blocked that move, which was actually a bit surprising to me, but maybe it's just the fact that you'd be losing two coordinators to the same team, and the team across the hall from you, as they say. But if you look back previously, McVay let Matt LaFleur go to the Titans at the time because he was going to get the play calling duties, which obviously McVay has at the Rams, but obviously he's blocked that, which is, I mean, it's positive news because obviously it means they think highly of him, and it's also going to be a bit of continuity for, you know, if Goff is the quarterback, it's going to be continuity for him as well, which is something that he hasn't really had in his career so far.
No, definitely. I think, you know, there's two things here. I mean, you definitely don't want to be losing two of your coordinators to the same team, especially because it's easy for them to go. They don't have to move house or anything, do they? They can literally go to the same place, even if the training ground is different. But, you know, that continuity for the offense is important as well. So it's good that we're taking a stand on that. But the other side of that is that, you know, if you're not moving forward and making changes, then in the NFL, you're going backwards. So in one respect, you want to have a healthy turnover of coaches, as long as you can control that and actually make improvements or what you consider to be improvements in that coaching team.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see what happens from then. I think the latest reports were that the dialogue was still open, but for now they had blocked the move. So it'll be interesting to see if O'Connell gets any additional, you know, responsibilities. I can't imagine that McVay is going to give up the play calling, you know, just like that, just to block a move. So we'll see going forward anyway. But I think that's pretty much all the news to cover so far. Again, we'll have a season review one where if there's anything comes out between now and then, we'll discuss, as well as, you know, free agents and whatnot, because there's obviously a bunch, but we'll discuss that then. So I think we'll move on to the predictions, coming to an end, obviously. We'll go over last week's results first. We obviously know the result of our matchup. Unfortunately, I was the only one that got that right. I don't take any pride in that at all. I was hoping to be the only one that got it wrong. The Baltimore at Buffalo, all of us apart from Aaron got that right. Everyone predicted the Chiefs to beat the Browns. Bit of a split. So Chris, Tony and Tom predicted the Buccaneers win over the Saints. And that was the fourth game. So going into this week's We've obviously only got the two games. So Tampa Bay at Green Bay. We've all gone for a Packers win. So you just see them continuing the momentum from last week, Rob?
Yeah, I very much trying to just kind of like, you know, very much kind of go with my best instincts on it, Jordan, to be honest. So,
yep, and Bills at the Chiefs, a little bit of a split. We don't actually have Tom's in yet. Hopefully gets them in before the game. But Chris, Rob and yourself, Tony, have gone for the Chiefs. You see that? You see the Chiefs winning that? Mahomes went out with a potential concussion, but you think he'll be back and lead them to a win?
Yeah, I hadn't watched any of the highlights before, so I was aware of the injury, but not, maybe not severity of it. But I mean, I think that home field advantage for KC will actually be valuable, especially because they have fans in as well, like Green Bay. So yeah, I just think that the Chiefs have got a little bit too much for Buffalo.
Yeah, myself and Aaron have went for the Bills. So that kind of ties that up. We'll see how it goes. Me and Chris are still tied at the top, so three more games. We've went for one different there, so I think this will be the make or break. I think that just leaves the questions, really, because we've got no game to preview this week, unfortunately. So, Tony, have you got any there from the social medias?
Yeah, we've got a few questions here and about. Let's see which ones we haven't answered already. So Andy Lamble on Facebook, who's a regular correspondent, says, first of all, thanks for all the work this season. With the pandemic and everything, it's been a welcome distraction at all times. So thanks, Andy, for that, and thanks for listening. So his question this week is, do you feel the team may have made a mistake by signing Goff to his new contract as early as they did? In reality, we could have made him play this year on his fifth-year option with him being a first-rounder and then sorted out a contract for him when we felt he deserved it. I mean, obviously, at the time, it was a bumper contract, five-year, $135 million contract, which did feel a lot of money at the time, but I think we was coming back off the Super Bowl and all of the rest of that. I think we've covered a little bit of this already, but I mean, Jordan, thoughts?
I just think it's easy to judge it with hindsight. At the time, you have a young quarterback. What was he, 24 then? You know, coming off a Super Bowl season where he played extremely well for the most part, went to, you know, a full Superdome, led the team to a victory there. Obviously, Super Bowl was extremely disappointing offensively overall. But I mean, it was going to go one or two ways. You were either going to sign him to the contract and it looks good, or it looks bad like it does now, or vice versa. You could have not signed him. He plays like he has now, and you look like a bit of a genius not signing him to it, or he improves even more and you look dumb for not signing him when you had the chance. So I think that's one that, with hindsight, you're saying don't give him the money, but at the time I'm not sure there was many that would have disagreed with it. You know, I can't really remember, to be fair, but you know, I certainly didn't disagree with it given how he played in that 2018 season.
No, definitely not. Rob?
Yeah, very much everything Jordan said there. Hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? I think the team did what they thought was the best thing to do at the time. The cap was made available, and I think they tied up what they felt at the time was going to be their franchise quarterback, and I don't think you can fault them for that. To be honest with you, you know, Goff has showed spells where he has looked like he's going to be the franchise, you know, quarterback for the future. And then you see the other side of Goff where, you know, as I touched on earlier, you know, that, you know, a guy maybe not always making the best of decisions, you know, has struggled a little bit under pressure maybe in the second half of this season, certainly so. But to be honest with you, I honestly think, and I've said this on a couple of podcasts, that I think there's more to come from Goff, and I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt going forward. You know, we've only saw Wolford in one game, so I don't think we're looking at anything like any kind of quarterback controversy. And I don't think Goff's been bad enough yet, you know, to be looking at the bench either. So I think, to be honest with you, I think Goff will still be, you know, the starter going into the off-season and probably for next season as well. But I think he'd be the first guy to put his hand up and say, you know, that he didn't have the best of seasons. But I think, to be honest with you, I think Goff may potentially have some other competition, you know, maybe arrive maybe in the off-season, in what shape or form, given the camp, I don't know. But I think certainly he'll be the front runner for me going forward. And I think Goff, I think, has shown enough that I think the potential is there for him to be the franchise quarterback. And I think a few things are tidied up, and I think the scheme suits his attributes. I'm going to continue to give him the benefit of any doubt I've had, because one last thing I would say on this is you look at this season as two halves. You know, the first half of the season Goff played really quite well. You know, he was really pretty decent the first half of the season. Then we had a bit of a turning point in the Miami game. And things did fluctuate from then. There were some poor games after that. But I think, to be honest with you, it gets back to that kind of, you know, first half of the season production and starts to look a bit more like that. And I see this guy settling down and going forward with the team. And I think that's the most likely scenario going forward just now, because looking at his contract, you know, I think it would be very difficult, you know, to look at any kind of trade. And I don't think that they're anything like inclined to be doing that at the moment. I'm not saying that they won't maybe entertain maybe looking around, certainly, you know, but I think, to be honest with you, he'll be the guy going forward. And I think the contract will be a large part of that, because, you know, that it's going to be difficult to shift otherwise, I think.
I think it is really difficult to shift that contract until at least 2023 because of the dead cap. Ian Woodley from Facebook also asked a question about, is this the time to trade Goff? But I'm not going to go back over that. That's maybe one that we can go a little bit more in depth when we do a season review. But he does also ask, was it a mistake not to directly replace Brandon Cooks as a deep wide receiver? Rob?
Do you know something? That's a great point. And I really appreciate that chap actually asking that, because I have to say, yes, I think that they were hoping for more deep threat potential from Josh Reynolds. And as much as Josh Reynolds didn't have a bad season, coming in and playing the number three spot for us most of the season, he didn't really bring that deep threat. And I know the system maybe didn't look to go deep that often either, but I think as the season went on, you saw that we were living in dinks and dunks and intermediate passes. And I think that was largely because of the loss of Brandon Cooks. I think everything functions so much better when we could threaten deep, you know. And I think it makes, you know, defences, you know, have to respect that. You know, defences can't gang up on your stuff at the line of scrimmage. And I think potentially, you know, I know we've got Van Jefferson sitting there, and I don't think he's going anywhere soon. I certainly hope he's not. He's almost under his rookie, obviously under his rookie contract, but I mean, like, it's a not playing kind of thing. But I think we have to find a way of getting him on the park. But I would be very open, yeah, very open to a Brandon Cooks type receiver coming in. Again, as difficult as that is going to be in the off-season, but I think it's something that the offence is missing, and I think it's something that would pay dividends for the offence as well.
Jordan?
Yeah, no, so I said that a few weeks back. I think it was something that was missed. Just kind of opening up a little bit. Whether it would have been much of an impact, we don't know, because Jared Goff on the deep ball was poor to non-existent at times, but certainly to help the offense function, I think it was needed, and it should be something certainly at least in the draft we'll see. If not, you know, a kind of cheaper free agent, because again, the cap space, we don't really know where we're going with it going forward. So I think it's something that will definitely be addressed.
Yep, agree with that. So, I mean, a couple of questions off Twitter. One from Daniel Flint. I think this is a fairly simple question we can say pretty much yes or no to. He says, are we now a run-first offence with Akers emerging in the second half of the season? Daniel sees a very run-heavy attack next year, with Akers finishing top five running back in the league. Jordan?
I'm not sure it'll be run first, but I mean, the McVay offense is built off the play action, so we're certainly going to see a decent dose of it, but I think he wants to be kind of 50-50 on it. But certainly, having a good running back helps that. So I think maybe we'll see the offense get back to more of where it was, you know, 2017, 2018. Maybe not as productive, certainly, but more in its, you know, foundation and its philosophy. Another reason I don't really think it'll be that run heavy is the offensive line. You know, we're not really sure what's going to happen there. Whitworth kind of gave indications that he wants to come back, but it's not been a full commitment. And then the interior, for the most part, was a bit of a mess at times, certainly in the run game. So I certainly don't think it'll be run heavy as such.
No, I think we covered it a little bit earlier as well, didn't we? Is that the emergence of both Brown, Henderson and Akers as a triumvirate seems to work well for us. And hopefully that can continue into next season. Rob?
Do you know something, folks? And again, you might not completely agree with me here, but I think, to be honest with you, we are a little bit run heavy at the moment, or in recent games there, and I think it's almost kind of crept up on us. I don't think it's intentional. I think obviously we want to be balanced, and you make a very valid point regarding the play action, Jordan. But I think certainly, you know, that Cam Akers is certainly looking like a guy that can help carry the offense. And you've got to be balanced, I think, to be consistent in this league. But it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if there is more emphasis on the running back position. And that's kind of probably where I would leave it. I think you've got to be balanced, but it wouldn't surprise me if you do see us, you know, certainly hitting teams with a good dose of the run, certainly next year. Yeah.
And I pretty much got to ask this question because I know it was a season ambition of JStod25 on Twitter to get a question on every week. So he says, all season our defence was on fire and dug us out of so many holes. What changed? Because it was like watching any other team. Was it purely down to how good the Green Bay offensive line was, as we got nowhere near Rodgers to pressure him to throw the ball into our hands? Jordan, I think we did cover a lot of this already, but I did want to answer this because it was his ambition to get a question on every week.
Yeah, just Aaron Donald's injury resulting in a lack of pressure, pretty much, I think, is a downfall. Certainly played a little bit softer on the back end as well at times, but yeah, I think it was just an off night. Like, we can't, as much as the performance of the defence was disappointing, they got us there, like I said, for the most part, it was them that got us there. So just an off night more than anything.
Rob, anything to add on that?
Very much that, yeah. I mean, I think one of the key things going into the game was trying to limit Rodgers' time on the park, and we really weren't able to do that. And as Jordan rightly said, I think, you know, the Aaron Donald situation, I think, was a big part of that. I think, you know, when he's on the park, you know, he's monopolising one, two or three sometimes, you know, offensive linemen. When he's not on the park, it's one-on-ones. And as I say, he did miss a lot of the snaps. And again, you just saw the pass rush wasn't just quite the same.
Yep. And I think that's all true. You know, the defence has played so well all season, but the defence that was able to put out and able to perform on Saturday, I nearly said Sunday then, but on Saturday wasn't the ideal Rams defence, was it? So, and that's pretty much all the questions, Jordan, from social media.
Yep, no bother then. I think that's pretty much us, unless anyone's got anything to add, Tony, anything?
No, I think if we start going any further into this, we'll spend another hour talking about the full season and what we expect from the off season.
Yeah, pretty much. Rob, any more thoughts on the Green Bay game? Or?
No, I'm good. I think we've touched on it, guys, as much.
Yeah, so that pretty much wraps us up for the game reviews, previews for the 2020 season, unfortunately. Didn't quite end how we would have wanted, but certainly overall I think it's a season that better than some people expected, certainly in the media. So we'll go over all that in the season review, like I've said, probably after the Super Bowl. So that'll do us for tonight. So thanks very much, Tony.
Thank you, Jordan.
And thanks to yourself, Rob.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
And we'll see you for the next one. Thanks.